Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today's show is about a difficult subject that many people don't want to talk about. It's about how to heal from childhood sexual abuse. This is a topic that sickens us, embarrasses us, and angers us. And those who have suffered it spend a lifetime trying to suppress and hide what happened to them. The guilt, the shame, the hurt. And they suffer in silence. They feel different than everyone else and sometimes very alone. Healing from something like this seems impossible, and forgiveness seems inconceivable. My special guest today, Vanessa Johnson, has been where you are, survived it, and has healed from it. Vanessa says that the process to heal from a trauma like sexual abuse can be hard, but just like many things that transform us into what we are meant to be, it's a process that is necessary. She has personally taken the journey from a place of deep pain to a place of freedom and wants you to know that you do not have to stay bonded to your pain or the shame that is associated with it. Vanessa courageously broke her silence with great transparency so that others can do the same. She uses her transformed life not only to encourage other victims to do the same, but to mentor them in the process. She is a living testimony that destiny will not truly be filled until we release the pains of our past. Vanessa Johnson is the author of Thrive, A Call to Healing, a book of emotional healing, a book of courage, forgiveness, and hope, and a book of phenomenal wisdom. Everyone reading this book will find the loving guidance, inspiration, encouragement to begin their own journey to healing. I highly recommend it for those who are struggling with their own traumas of victimization. Vanessa Johnson has always had a strong love and passion for those who are hurting. Thrive to Heal is a ministry that she founded to help those who are struggling to overcome the pain and devastation of past traumas in their lives. As an author, life coach, speaker, and member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, Vanessa is on a mission to move people from a place of merely surviving trauma to a place of thriving in life. And now it is my privilege and honor to introduce you to my special guest, Vanessa Johnson. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for being my guest today. This is a difficult topic, but the way that you approach this in your book is so inviting and inspiring that I think you know, it makes it a little bit easier, or probably a lot easier, for people who are going through this to take a peek and maybe get, you know, get motivated to start doing the healing.
That definitely is my hope.
And I think that that is going to be the case. Vanessa, you believe that healing starts with a choice. And what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is I think that people lose sight of the power that they have to choose. I think a lot of times in our life, we have situations and circumstances that make us feel powerless, that make us feel like we no longer have a choice in the matter. What I want people to know and understand that you have power in choosing. And once you accept that, once you embrace that, you have taken a very important and critical first step to your healing journey.
That's wonderful. Now, in your story, you were sexually abused as a child by an uncle. And you said that growing up without a lot of affection caused you to never really understand the concept of being loved from a physical perspective, which made you vulnerable to this abuse. Can you explain that?
Yes, thank you. When you grow up as a child, and in my household, there was just always a lot of stuff going on, and none of it really good. You know, a lot of alcohol and drinking and gambling. So as a child in that type of situation, neglect is something that's pretty much inevitable. But, you know, it is human nature to crave attention and love. It gives us a sense of meaning for our existence that someone loves us or thinks that we are of value. And so what predators tend to do is that they target people looking for that kind of affection. And it's not a coincidence that they target children. We are right at that vulnerable age where, you know, as a baby you're growing up, you're getting lots of hugs, you're getting love, and then all of a sudden that thing will stop. But you are still craving that. Your flesh is still craving that. And so predators tend to prey on you as a child being in that very weakened state of not receiving love and affection. And so it makes you a prime target. And what they do in the act of molestation is they then begin to pervert your sense of what love is really supposed to be.
And is that perversion something that stays with you?
It does stay with you. It stays with you as you develop into your older adolescent years, your teen years, definitely into adulthood, because then you start to associate the act with molestation of giving and receiving love. You think that that's the way that you're supposed to get it. The act of molestation begins to awaken things in a child's flesh. And people sometimes don't understand that there's a lot of biological and emotional things that happen before it's time. So then that's why it continues with you as you continue to grow into your adult years. We have many girls, we have many women that continue to leave that life desiring that type of attention and association with love. And the whole time, Randy, they're searching. I know that deep down inside for me, I knew it was not the right thing. I knew it wasn't the right way to get it, but it was the only way I knew.
Wow. How tragic.
Yes.
So when you begin your book, you know, when you begin talking about healing in your book, and this is really the fundamental of your book, is your relief will not come in knowing why. Why will never change the experience. It will keep you in an endless cycle of questions, because each answer that does not bring healing will only lead to another question, and this cycle puts you on a wheel called insanity. And I really love that as a survivor myself of other issues and working with other survivors. Yes, we all want to know why. So why is it important that we don't need to know why?
You know, the thing I really want people to understand is that even if my uncle were to tell me, this is why I did it, it will never change the effects of what happened. So for those individuals that just feel like they have to know, it is so crucial for them to understand that they have shifted their focus to the wrong place. Your focus has to be on the experience that happened doesn't define who I am, but now how do I move on from that? How do I still allow my life to be lived with value and purpose despite the experience? When you take why out of the equation, you begin to focus on what's really important. And I think the other thing is this: why keeps you trapped back there? It keeps you trapped and attached to the experience. So I want people to understand that whether you find out or you don't find out, whether someone tells you or whether you just, are still searching for the answer, you are, if I could just put it in this term, you're really wasting valuable time in your life because it's never going to change the fact that someone molested you, that someone stole your innocence, and someone has caused your definition of love to be twisted and perverted. We have to redefine that in our lives, and that's where our time should be focused.
Right. It's interesting, because I work with a lot of people that are survivors of narcissistic personality disorder abuse, and when you're the victim of something that you just cannot understand, it boggles the mind, and it does trap you. It does trap you into, you're seeking these answers, but it's keeping you from moving forward. We can't always know why things happen to us, but it is our job to move forward. You say healing is not in knowing why. Healing is in choosing to heal in spite of not knowing why. I love that.
Yes, and that's a very important piece.
I agree. I totally agree with that. It's easy to stay stuck in our pain, but
it is. It's very easy to stay stuck. And the thing that's important is that when you stay stuck, I think you mentioned this earlier, we stay very trapped and very attached. And we basically live our lives through that attachment. So it affects, and I also say infects, every other area as we try to move forward. But until we sever that connection, that's very difficult to do.
Exactly. Another thing that you say, and I'm quoting from your book because I love the way that you put these things. You said, when survivors get to the place of healing, we will be able to see that the experience of abuse never had the power to steal our destiny. What steals our destiny is the power we give the experience over our lives. That's so well said, Vanessa.
Thank you very much. And it was my case. It was the exact case for me. I had given that experience so much power that I think in my mind, I'm a very visual type of person. So in my mind, I just see myself with this victim cloak on me, that every time someone looked at me or every time someone had a conversation with me, that's how I functioned. That's how I operated. That was my language. That was the way I interacted. I was always the victim. In certain situations, even professionally, I was always the victim. It makes you very defensive. It makes you always in protection mode. And what we don't understand about that way of operating is it really imprisons us and keeps us away from those things and sometimes those people who can help move our lives forward. And I really want to encourage people, and I really want people to understand that if you stay attached to the pains of your past, that is really how you begin to operate, and it affects you professionally, it affects you emotionally, and personally. And when I say personally, we can all take a look back at our lives, our relationships with our children, our relationships with our spouses, our relationships with friends and coworkers. if you find yourself always in a situation where you don't really have good relationships, but you want one, it's time to start looking a little internally. It's time to start looking at how you are operating and what engine are you operating with. Is it an engine of what you have been, of what you've experienced in the past, or is it an engine of what you want your future to be?
Amazing. That's so well said. And our children will suffer for what we suffer from. So many people that I counsel feel like they can get through this, but their children are not affected. And that is so not true. Our children are affected by every bit of baggage we carry. And to think otherwise is to really be in denial. And it's so important, if we have children, that we heal ourselves so that our children don't carry this legacy that we've carried or was, you know, put on us, like you said. Because it goes from generation to generation until somebody puts their foot down and says, no more, no more. So important that we heal for our children. And
it is so important.
Yeah, you said don't make other people responsible for your healing. Our loved ones are not dumping grounds for our pain. That is so true.
It is so true. And you said such a key word, legacy. We will one day leave this earth. What is the legacy that you will leave your children? What's the memory that you will leave them? I know that if my mother had an opportunity to do it all again, she would choose another route to heal outside of alcoholism. Because when I think of my mother, I think of some of the very sweet aspects of her personality. But I could always tell she was a woman in pain, that she always had an emotional turmoil going on in the inside of her. And I want to share this with your listeners. This is a very simple story. It's a true story. My husband and I and my two sons, we were out at lunch, and my husband and I love to share childhood stories with our children. So one day, and my husband shares his story, we all chuckle, I begin to share my story, and my son says to me, "Mom, do you have any good stories to share?"
Oh, my gosh.
I had not even realized that everything that I was sharing was out of my tragedy and out of my experiences. And it really set off an alarm, a wake-up call in my heart and in my mind. I think about it, and I still get teary-eyed, even though my son is now 24 years old, and that was so many years ago. But it was one of the very critical turning points in my life. So when you say to parents, you are fooling yourself if you think that just getting over it or trying not to think about it, form of healing, they are really missing the bigger picture, because getting over it is not healing. And we have triggers as survivors. And when you are not healed, there are certain things and certain events in your life that will trigger that response out of you. And those are the memories, the responses, your interactions. Those are the memories and the legacy that you're leaving your children.
You know, Vanessa, I had a very similar turning point in my life. Excuse me. When my daughter was about, she was a couple years old, 3 or 4, whatever. And she would always tell me about her dreams the next morning. And I started to notice that every time she told me about her dreams, I was angry with her in the dream.
Wow.
And I came from a home of great anger all the time. And it just slapped me right in the face and said, no, 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 this is where it stops. So, yes, your children will pick up on these things. I mean, we cannot help it. You said that people will quickly change their attitudes towards you when you change how you see yourself. If you see yourself as a reject, you will always feel rejected. If you see yourself as wounded, you will always act out of pain. If you see yourself as a victim, you will always expect to get hurt and live a life expecting disappointments. That is so true. We do create our reality, don't we?
We do. We most certainly do. And what I want people to understand is that the things that I'm sharing in this book are the things that I had to deal with and face in order to get to that place of healing. And I realized that my defense mechanisms were always ways of protecting myself. It was almost like if you picture yourself and you have a whole bunch of bricks around you, and every time you thought you were going to get hurt, you would start to begin to build that brick wall. And every defense and every time you felt like someone was going to victimize you, and it could be very simple things. For me, I had very simple triggers. They sound simple, but they would trigger such emotion in me. And here's a great example. If someone said to me, "Hey, try this dish. It's really good." "No, no, thank you," I would say. I don't want to try it." No, really, you want to try it?" "No, I don't think I'll like it." There's a tug of war going back and forth. But in my mind, the person is trying to force me to do something I don't want to do. And all of a sudden, I change because then I get enraged. So now I'm building more bricks. And those bricks do nothing but create a prison. That's all they do. So how you see yourself, if I no longer see myself as a victim, my response to that very same conversation is very different. "I want you to try this." "You know what? I don't think so." No, you should really try it. "Maybe next time. But I appreciate you offering for me to try it." And
there
the conversation can be over. It changes. When I see myself differently, even the words that come out of my mouth are different.
I love the way you talk about building your own prison with bricks. And that's something you said in your book. You said negative emotions become like prison bars that lock you in a state of confusion. You could see that even though the bars to the cell surrounded you, the door to leave was always open. Our emotions allow us. Our emotions create that prison and blind us to the fact that there was and is always a way out. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, there's always a way out. And again, we've talked about this, but pain is like having blinders on. All you see is just a prison. But when you decide and make that choice to heal, the vision changes, not only of yourself, but just seeing your path to a better destiny, a better way of leaving legacy, it all becomes clearer. And you start to really desire the life that you thought you could never have.
So many people that are hurting and don't really want to do the work or just haven't gotten the courage to do it or don't think they can. And this show is not about God or religion or anything like that, but everybody does tend to use this phrase, and people will say, "God did this to me, why should I believe in God?" And you say, God doesn't choose for us in any area. We make our own choices, just like the individual or individuals who hurt us. So it's not God choosing the person to hurt us or God choosing us to be hurt. It's us. It's our life choices that we make.
And you know, that's a tough thing. It's definitely a tough thing, and I know that from my own personal experience. I am no different than those individuals that you were talking about, where there was just an angry moment because, you know, in my household and like a lot of people, we grow up and we learn of an all-loving God who loves us and wants the best for us, and He's wonderful and giving and caring. But wait a minute. What do you mean He's loving and caring and giving? Does He not know what just happened to me? I'm not, you know, you're not going to make that connection for me. But outside of that, you know, if you just put God aside, that person made a choice. And that's what it really just boils down to. So we have displaced the anger, and we can often do that. And it doesn't have to be God. We could displace the anger on other people. For me, my husband, who is a wonderful, wonderful man, there were times where I displaced that anger on him. He's not God. So we can do that in different ways into different people, but we have to come to the realization that it was that person who made the choice. We may or may never know why they made the choice, but it really was them. So if I'm going to be angry, and angry is a very normal response, I don't think we should tell people you shouldn't be mad about that. Healing is not about not being angry at the perversion and the twisted act of abuse, but you have to be in a healthy state of mind to understand that you don't want those things to now be your navigator. So it's important to understand that the anger can be on the person who hurt you, and that's who the responsibility should be on, the person who did the act.
And the responsibility to heal is on us.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. That is perfectly put. The responsibility to heal is on us, because if we look at it in this term, how else are we going to heal if we don't do it? My husband cannot do that work for me. It is a very personal journey, because if my husband tries to heal for me, what benefit is it to me? How do I see my destiny? How do I understand my value despite the experience if he does the work? I have to do the work to reap the incredible benefit that healing can bring.
Well, that's just, you know, that's so true. And there are such great benefits. It's hard to see what is out there for you when you're
mm-hmm.
so trapped in these negative emotions.
Yes.
But, you know, and I'm a very spiritual person, and I do believe that the work that we do here goes with us for an eternity. So it's not like,
yes.
you know, we can just finish up this life and say goodbye to that issue. We never say goodbye to that issue. We take it with us. We leave it behind us. It's just a terrible energy that we have to change. Here's another thing that you said that I love. You said, I'm not trying to convince you to heal. I'm just trying to make sure you know the consequences if you don't. I really, really love that, because we're not forcing anybody to heal, but they need to know what the rest of their life is going to be and what destruction they're going to cause, right, Vanessa?
Absolutely. That is perfectly said. That's exactly what I mean. I have this thing, you know, again, me being very visual. When I wasn't healed, I really was an infection. And I know that's kind of a harsh term, but I was an infection, because I really infected and affected everything that was around me. I could feel sometimes the atmosphere of a room shift when I entered, or if certain conversations would happen in the family, I could hear my oldest son say, "Oh, no, don't say that in front of Mom." And I knew that I was the reason that people reacted a certain way. And so what I finally came to the conclusion of is that I was really infecting the people that I loved with my issues, my anger, and all the things that I was living and doing based on the experience I had during, you know, being molested. So I had to take full responsibility not to be a walking wound. My mother had a saying, and she would say, when I was such a tomboy, Randy, I was just such a tomboy as a young girl. And so, I mean, I did the big wheel thing like the boys, but I remember getting scraped up and scarred up, and my mom, she would put a Band-Aid on. And after a while, she'd say, "Take the Band-Aid off." And I'd say, "Mom, no, it'll hurt." And she says, "You have to take the Band-Aid off so the scab will form." And that's that will cause it to heal. And so in my mind, I could just hear this saying, covered wounds never heal. They just don't. And so as we try to encourage people through the wonderful work and all of your books that you're doing, as we try to encourage people to heal, they must understand that suppressing it and pushing it down, and it just doesn't work with trauma like this. I don't think it works with any trauma.
You know, you say that abuse was not part of your purpose, but it can be used to propel you to it. And Oprah had a really good a good quote. She said, turn your wounds into wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really like that. But it is, we have adversity in our life so that we can grow and it can, we can become the people that we can reach our full potential. Everyone has issues that block them. We just need to jump those hurdles and move forward. Move forward.
Absolutely.
You say it's not about who molested you. It's about taking the power and control back from them as you expose their disease and no longer claim it as your own. When they look at you clothed in forgiveness, you force them to see themselves for who they really are, frail and powerless.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely. When I got to that place of healing, there was such, it was such a time of empowerment, because I knew that I had taken full control and responsibility for my life, and that I was no longer trapped or connected to the experience or the person who caused the pain. And I remember the first time seeing my uncle at a family gathering, and I remember him just kind of, in a way, cowardly kind of scurrying off. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say hello. But you know what, Randy? I stand tall. I stand flat-footed. And I say to whatever operates in him that caused him to do what he did, you no longer have power or control over me or my destiny.
And that's a hard thing to do. You know, that's the thing that we fear the most, is having to be around these people. And that takes an immense amount of healing. It really gets where you can get to that point where you feel so okay with who you are, that person is minuscule. They just have no place in your life anymore.
No place
and it's
in
hard,
your life
anymore. Right, for people that are abused, that person, it's even any kind of abuse, really. The person who abuses you looms so large in your life, you know. You give them so much power and they seem so big, you know. And then when you really examine it, they actually have no power over us. And that's when you come to that is so freeing.
It is, because the act of molestation is about someone trying to, take power. We feel like they've taken power over us, but the act itself is so cowardly. It's a very cowardly and malicious thing to do. And so when we really come to some realities about the act and the person, it does free us to take those necessary steps. And you're right. It is a journey. It does take, tell you, and I tell everyone this, if you start that path, if you start that journey, and when you, as you start to move forward and you look back and see how far your courage and your understanding of what power you really have has taken you, you'll never regret taking it. You'll never regret taking the journey to heal.
I so agree with that. That's so well said. We're about 35 minutes into the hour, and I want to give you an opportunity, if there is something I haven't brought up, and also I'd like you to tell people, you know, a little bit about where they can get your book and your website and those kind of things. So I'm going to give you that opportunity now. So take about 5 minutes and talk about yourself.
Thank you so much. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this opportunity to speak to your audience. I admire what you do, and I'm so happy to meet a kindred spirit and soul who also wants to see people living the lives of greatness and purpose. And that is what this book is about. My book, A Thrive, A Call to Healing, it can be purchased on Amazon, and it also can be purchased on my website. I encourage people to go to my website, which is www.thrive2heal.com, thrivetoheal.com, because I sign those copies personally. I just send a message, whatever's on my heart, I just send a message to the person who's going to receive the book, because I want them to know that they're connecting with someone who knows where they are, where they've been, and where they need to go. And to me, that makes a difference. It makes a difference in my counseling and mentoring, in my life coaching. I really want people to know that I am someone that they can connect with on different levels, and I have an understanding of those, even, I'll say this, even those dark places that you sometimes feel in those times of anger and confusion and tug of war with who you want to be, and but you're still letting your circumstance define who you currently are. So they don't have someone who just woke up one morning and said, I'm going to talk to people who have been hurt. I've been there. And so my desire is to stand as a testimony to people that healing is real for everybody. And though I admire very much so many women like Oprah, like Joyce Meyer or Paula White, who have had very similar traumas, I am representing the everyday girl. I'm representing the over 49 million adult survivors who think that they're the only ones. And I think that once we start to connect and once we start to lock arms, we will not only minimize the occurrences of child molestation, but we'll begin to start to eradicate it, and we'll begin to empower each other. I am just a pebble in the water that creates the ripple. And what we don't understand about ripples is that they go for miles. So my hope is that this book becomes a pebble in the water. It drops and create ripples of other survivors who will heal and then create their own waves. And so I'm really excited about that opportunity. And, you know, people can reach me at, and, you know, in my website. They can reach out to me to ask questions. And I'm also open for speaking engagements where we have personal workshops and where we start to really get to some of the nuts and bolts of these emotions and things that we deal with as we take the healing journey. So, again, I just thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I thank you. What about your ministry? What are other people involved in Thrive to Healing, or is it just you? Or Thrive to Heal? Thrive to Heal.
Yes. Yes. The ministry right now consists of me and my husband. We do have some people that connect with us from time to time, but right now we are keeping it together very close. My husband is a great supporter of everything that I do, and he is also my voice of reason, because I am someone who will run at the opportunity to help someone. All you have to do is call me, and I'm ready to go. So the ministry, we reach out to different churches and nonprofit organizations, and there's a realization that everyone does not have a relationship with God, or, you know, they may not necessarily believe what I believe. But at the end of the day, this is about your journey. However you need to take that journey and take those necessary steps, that's what I want to encourage you to do. I am working on establishing a nonprofit organization as part of the Thrive to Heal ministry, where we will go out and create and do these workshops for free. This is not a money-making thing for me. This is really something that's in my heart, and I know that I'm destined to do this. So the nonprofit, the workshops, all of that falls under the umbrella of Thrive to Heal. So I'm hoping to start doing more of that, working with nonprofit organizations, social service organizations, to educate and to empower people.
I just love that. I just love the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much when you said lock arms and
the ripples and everything like that. Your visuals, I love your visuals too. But the more educated people are, the faster we can stop the spread of these horrible epidemics. Too many children have to suffer like this, and it's absolutely disgraceful.
It is.
We're coming to the close, but I wanted to also use another thing that you said in your book, which somebody said to you, and it reverberated so loudly for you, and you said, nothing changes if nothing changes. That's just great.
It's a simple statement, right? But
it's
so
powerful. It is.
She is just this manager that I worked with, such a woman of wisdom. And she just looked at me and said, nothing changes if nothing changes. And it just stuck with me. And so it just basically says, if you want change in your life, you cannot continue to operate the same way. And for me, that even meant, Randy, not being around the same people. Because sometimes there are people who can keep you stuck in your past, reminding
Absolutely.
You always of who you were and things that you used to do, keep you trapped in that place of shame. So you got to change if you want to change.
So well said,
yeah.
And a great way to end the show. Well, we are running out of time. I want to thank you so much because I've really enjoyed this time with you, and I know that my listeners will have and will get so much out of this this short time that we're together. We did cover a lot. So thank you again. And yes, I have met a kindred soul. It is really, really wonderful to know you.
Thank you so much. And I wish all the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, like I said, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, Randy, RandyGFine.com. If you listen to my shows, you know that I am a narcissistic abuse survivor proponent, and I want to tell you about this page that I have on Facebook and hope that you will support it. It's called Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. So let's unite, help each other, let me help you. And also, the second Friday of every month from 11 to 11:45 a.m. Eastern Time, I do a show where I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. So I do urge you to call in, and that number is 424-220-1801, the second Friday of every month. And that means that the next show will be November 13th. So call in and allow me to help you, or just share what you've experienced so other people can have the benefit of that. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, RandigFine.com. Sign the guest book. Let me know what you think about my shows. And there are hundreds of articles there about everything that you can imagine, from parenting and relationships to spiritual growth, personal growth, metaphysical stuff, letting go of pain, and, of course, narcissistic personality disorder abuse. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, I would love if you would please become a show follower so you'll be notified of the upcoming program that I have. It's always, always top-notch and wonderful. My guests will touch your heart and change your lives, if you allow it. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. And as another aside, I am available for counseling. So on my website, randygfine.com, there is access to a page that says Fine Life Issues Counseling. If you go there, you'll see my policies and how to contact me. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be.